At every major intersection in our lives, there's probably been some form of an invitation. Somebody has invited you somewhere for something or someone. And some of the greatest things that have happened in our lives are the result of an invitation. A wedding proposal, a job opportunity, something that as a result of that invitation, maybe a lifetime opportunity that shows itself that has changed your life forever. And these invitations powerfully affect how we navigate. 15 years ago, I was invited to join the pastoral team here at Calvary. And so I packed up my young family on the East Coast. Thank you. And moved all the way to the West Coast. And it was a big move for us. That invitation literally changed our lives. Now, I will say that I was promised eternal sunshine in that meeting before I came, and when I arrived, I was greeted with 40 days and 40 nights of rain and gray skies. But I'm not bitter. Believe me, the skies cleared up, the sun came back out, and finally the good weather returned, and so did my hope of better days ahead. But you know what? That one invitation changed our lives, not just mine, but my entire family. And I am forever thankful for that. Now, on the flip side, there's also some great regrets that people have as the result of an invitation, maybe missed opportunities in people's lives. Invitations are powerful, sometimes even life-changing. And I honestly believe that you, every one of you, have the power to change someone's life through a simple invitation. You know, in the first chapter of the book of John, we see several examples of this at work in the life of Jesus, as he talked to people and prayed for them and healed them. Things were happening. There was a buzz in the city. And so people began to discover that Jesus was the Messiah. They had heard about this promise for many years, and now many were saying that this was him. He had arrived. And so people began inviting their friends and their family to come. Now, those people that were doing the inviting didn't have all the answers to the questions. They couldn't prove that he was the Messiah. They probably couldn't prove much of anything. But they did know that something was going on, and they consistently invited people to come and see. Come and see for yourselves. And that's important. You see, invitation is evangelism. Invitation leads to transformation in a person's life. And as people come and become part of the church, God does that thing that only God can do. He begins to mold us and make us and change us into the image that he has for us. And when people far from God, who are messed up and broken by sin and are dealing with the consequences of sin, when those people come to this community of faith, they feel hope. They feel like something could change in their lives. That's important. It's important for you. It's important for me, because many of our stories sound something like that. At Calvary, we want to be that kind of a place, the place where the unchurched can come and feel welcomed and at home, that they have a seat at our table while removing all the obstacles that could be there to prevent people from knowing who he is. So as we prepare for Easter, who can you invite? For dinner, for coffee, or to one of our celebration services on the Easter weekend. Make the best of all those invitations and prayer cards that are on your seat. They're there as tools in your hand to invite someone, and that invitation could potentially change their life. Invite them to the Good Friday family breakfast. Better still, buy them a ticket. Invite them to breakfast and then to our communion service. Sit with them. Make them feel at home, and then invite them back on Easter Sunday to one of our many services to celebrate with us the resurrection of Jesus Christ, one of the high points of our year. And listen, let me tell you, with all that our team has planned for the Easter weekend, I guarantee you, you will be so glad that you came and that you invited your friends to join them. I'm not exaggerating when I say that it's going to be amazing. Everything that I've heard and see coming together is incredibly exciting. Now, when you invite someone, I want you to do one more thing. I want you to be consistent in their lives. If the people that you're inviting are anything like me, sometimes it takes people a little while to think about it. They don't just go, yeah, giddy up, I'll be there. Some of them go, yeah, okay, maybe. I'll think about it. I'll look at my calendar. Some of them say, yeah, no, I'm good. And so all of these responses are not always the end of the road. Sometimes we give up too easy. We think, well, I did it. I did what Pastor Steve encouraged us to do. I invited somebody. I invited five people. But you know what? Remind them again when you see them. Invite them to come again. Hey, are you still thinking about coming to Easter? Maybe. Invite them again. See, the thing about the early church in the book of Acts is they were consistently inviting people. If people said they would think about it or they weren't sure, they would follow up. They would remind them. You see, you can be consistent without being pushy and rude. You can excitedly share what you're excited about in the lives of the people that need that. Now, this morning, I want to welcome all of our guests. If you're here for the first time, we're so glad that you decided to join us today. I want to welcome all of you that are joining us on our online campus. More and more people, when they're traveling or tuning, people from all over the world tuning into the service. So welcome to all of you. My name is Steve. I'm the lead pastor here at Calvary, for those of you that don't know that. But we're so glad that you've come, that you've come to be a part of what our family feels is so important in our lives. We've been spending about 5 weeks looking at this idea of neighboring, about what that looks like. The great command that we were given by Jesus was to love the Lord your God with everything that you have and to love your neighbor as yourselves. Now, some days that's easy. Some days, not so much, right? Some people are more lovable than others. Some people are easy to love. Some people are a great challenge to love. But that's why we need the Christ within us to rise up and to love the world through us so that he can use us, so that he can increase and I can decrease. I pray that prayer every day because I believe that in my weakness, his strength is perfected. That's what my Bible tells me, and so that's what I believe. Now, over the last four episodes, we've discovered that effective neighboring is all about sharing who you are, sharing what you believe. We've talked about sharing our heart, sharing our life, the importance of giving of who you are. Talked about sharing our story. Nobody can tell your story like you can. And if you think, well, I'm not versed in all the theology that you may know, and I don't know how to teach or preach, but I tell you what, you can tell them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them your story. Share your faith. Share the things that mean the most to you. And then today, in our conclusion, we're going to talk about sharing your church. You know, we want to be the kind of church that people can confidently share and invite others to. Now, this morning, I want to encourage you to do something you've probably never heard me say before. But I want to encourage you today to stop going to church. Just stop it. You know, we go places all the time. We go to the movies. We go shopping. We go on vacation. These are all destinations that we go and come back from. So today, I want to encourage you to stop going to church and start being the church. Because there's a radical difference. This is not just a destination that we visit once a week and then go away and forget. We are the church. We are a community of faith that lives and breathes beyond this segment of time on a Sunday morning. So be that kind of church that you can confidently say to your friends, you've got to come with me to my church. I want to share with you what has been such a blessing to me. The truth is your neighbors will come to church as a result of an invitation, but they'll stay because of community. People are attracted to community, to people that are on mission together. And you don't find community by looking for it. You discover community by being a part of it. But being the kind of person that others can lean on, by leaning on those that have been there and been dependable for you. So stop going to church and start being the church. The church doesn't exist within the framework of a one-hour service on a Sunday morning. The church is you and I, and we live and breathe and move and have our being in him every day of the week, right? So the church is active at Starbucks. It's active in your living room. It's active in your workplace. It's active in traffic in your car. Wherever you are, you bring that community to the people that need it the most.
I believe that people still want to be invited. I believe that people still want to know Jesus. And sometimes it's that simple. It's as simple as stepping up to the plate and inviting someone. People are attracted to community. And we, I think, as the church, need to be the hub of community, a community of faith. And a community is simply just an organized group of people that have the similar interests, that have a common trait. It could be a love of mountain biking, could be a love of online gaming or baking cupcakes. These are people that love to come together and share an interest. There's comfort in that. There's comfort in being around people that are on the same path as you are. It's fulfilling. It's a powerful dynamic. But as you read through the pages of Scripture, especially in the New Testament, as you look at the early church in the book of Acts, you see in Scripture pictures of profound community. There was this day-to-day vibe that people were living in, where it wasn't like, hey man, I'll see you Sunday, or I'll see you one meeting during the week, and then I'll see you again a week later. No, they were in and out of one another's homes. They were sharing dinner together. They were having coffee together. They were meeting each other at lunch breaks or in lunch rooms. There was a day-to-day dynamic that reflected what the church was always meant to be. The church did more than just exist to put on a performance. It was about a community of people living together. As a matter of fact, Paul promoted this church as family model because he was modeling what Jesus taught the disciples. Jesus was always teaching the disciples the importance of practicing community, of practicing the art of neighboring. John 13:34 says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's talking about community. Jesus valued community. And he's the glue that keeps this community together. He's at the center of everything that we do. That's why our logo is designed, our new logo, the way that it is. Within those two C's of Calvary Church is a third one, and that's Christ. And he's at the center of everything that we do. The same should be true in our lives, in our family, in our marriage relationship. He needs to be at the center of who we are. And so sharing our church is really sharing the relationships, the meaningful connections that have helped you to grow in your faith. Think of the people in your life right now that have influenced you, that encourage you every time you see them. As you share your church with other people, you share that same opportunity for people to come along relationships just like that to grow. People that are planted firmly in the house of the Lord. And you know what? This house is always growing. It's always expanding, just like the kingdom of God should be. Isaiah 54:2 says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen our cords. Strengthen your stakes. You know, I remember stopping by my bank in a hurry one day. And so I quickly parked and ran in. I had to see one of the tellers. And as I walked through the door, I recognized one of the tellers who knew who I was. She knew that I was a pastor at a church. And so she was excitedly trying to tell me something before I even got to the counter. She was so excited about telling me something. I didn't know what it was. But she's talking to me at a distance. Oh, Pastor Steve, I got to tell you something. So I quickly went up to the desk. And she said, you know, we live in it's a different neighborhood than we're in as a church. They just moved. And she was looking for a church. And she said, the last time I saw her, would you pray that we find one? And I said, yeah, totally. And she said, we found one. She said, you know, my husband, he's not big into church, but he decided to come and he really, really likes it. As a matter of fact, he's now inviting his friends to come to church. I said, that's fantastic. She said, yeah. She said, I'm sharing my church with everybody that I come in contact with. We're growing. It's exciting. And then in the same breath, she said, how is your church doing? It's so refreshing to me when people lift up their head beyond their own circumstances and they're genuinely interested in you. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice when you're talking to people sometimes and then they say, but you know what? Forget about me. How are you doing? How's your family? And so she said, how is your church doing? I said, amazing. She said, that's so exciting. Like she was genuinely excited, not just about her church, but what God was doing in ours. I said, you know what? We're running out of places to park people and chairs. So we added another service. She said, that is so great. Wouldn't it be a great problem if every church in our city that lifted up the name of Jesus was having a problem parking and finding a seat for people to sit in? Wouldn't that be a phenomenal thing? See, I pray that that revival of God's Spirit would sweep the city of Vancouver, would rock the nation of Canada, as churches are overflowing with people seeking that hope that only can be found in Christ. And that we would see new churches planted with that same life-giving attitude. You see, what that woman was doing with me in the bank, not in the foyer of her church, not after a service here on a Sunday morning, but in the lineup at the bank, she was sharing her church with me. And I was sharing my church with her. And I was excited about it. And she was excited about it. That is the way that it ought to be. And as we continue to improve our facilities and raise up new leaders, plant new small groups, and even someday plant new churches in our area and in our nation, you see, what we're doing is we're enlarging our tent. We're strengthening the cords that keep this community of faith called Calvary so strong. And our faith should always be doing that. It should always be being stretched. Your faith is like an elastic band, and if you pull it back far enough, the further you pull it, the further you stretch it, the farther it's going to go when you let it go. It soars through the air. We need to be stretched. The worst thing we can do is to stay in that comfortable state where we're just, that's just how an elastic does not stretch feels, right? It's just kind of laying there. I don't want that for my life. I want to be stretched to the farthest limit, so that God can use me and send me far. He's looking for people like you that will be stakes in the ground, that will be tied off and strong, that will be tied to one another. You know, growing up, I remember when the circus would come to our community. And they'd take like a parking lot of a shopping mall, and I'm sure they had to fix up the pavement when they were done, but these massive tents will go up. You see it every year down by the Science Center as Cirque du Soleil comes to town, these incredible tents. But if you get close enough to the perimeter of that tent, you'll see massive stakes that are driven through the pavement into the ground, and then ropes are tied off, and the tension is incredible. And all of those stakes together create this incredible tent that houses all the activity that's taking place. You and I, God has called each of us during this process of growth within our church to be strong stakes in the ground, so that when the wind blows and storms come, that we can be strongly set in place for one another, being rooted in the house of God. And when we do, there's this big life that happens when we decide to be planted together, planted firmly. And the growth is awesome, not only spiritual, but numerical. I want to encourage some of you, even as we push towards Easter, to perhaps consider, if you're a regular member of our church, to come to our next service, to the 12 o'clock service. Create room in this one. Look around. There's not a lot of seats here this morning. So you can imagine if we invited people to Easter for this service, we'd be hard-pressed to sit everybody in one place. But we're building these other services, and we need your help to do that. So even for this short period of time, try coming out to the 12 with your family. Try inviting people to that service. Let's create room so that people can park and sit and be a part of what God is doing here. Be a strong stake in the ground. And as a church community, each one of us need to be tied off to one another. When one of those stakes pulls out of the ground, there's a part of the tent that starts to cave in. And God wants to make sure that we're strong and in place for one another. And those deep roots are the result of being planted in a community of faith, the community of faith that God has put you in. This strengthens our not only our own walk with God, but it strengthens our families, our children, our teenagers, our young adults. Having a church family that we're rooted in makes all the difference in the world. You know, I've told a story before of my early days of ministry as a youth pastor in Toronto. We had all these young people coming every week, and it was fantastic. And these five guys that sang in a group together started coming to our group. And they loved coming. But they would come up to me at the end of the service and want to talk, "Pastor Steve, we say how much we enjoy the service." And one guy who was like the leader of the group, he began to proudly tell me that not only did they go to our church now, but they're going to five churches. He was so proud. We're going 5 different churches, man. Like, we go to this church because it's incredible Bible teaching. We go to this church because the worship is awesome. We go to this church because a lot of our friends from school. We go to this church because there's so many beautiful girls at this church over here. We go to all these churches. And he was wearing this as like a badge of honor. Like he was so in love with the Lord, so mature in his faith that he went to 5 churches. And I said to him one time, because he would always tell me this story, I said, you see my hand? I said, how many rings are on my hand? He said, 1. I said, right. I don't have 5 rings. This is the wife I go on vacation with. This is the wife I take out to dinner because she's just incredible. This is the wife, the spiritual one, I go to church with. This wife over here is the one that takes care of our children. She does that for me. God bless her heart. See, all of these wives are doing all these amazing things in my life. No, I said, no, not at all. I said, there's 1 ring for 1 woman that I've committed my life to. You see, when you plant your roots deep in the ground, when you hear from heaven and say, Lord, where do you want me and my family? When you find out where that is, and I guarantee you will never be a perfect place because it doesn't exist. But when God gives you a peace about where you are, put your roots down. Allow God to develop you and to bring growth in your life. I'm forever thankful that my parents did this many years ago because it has helped me to grow in my own faith. You see, this brings strength that goes beyond just what I need. It helps my marriage. It helps my kids. It helps the things that God's called us to do. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will gather like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will bear fruit in old age. I'm so glad about that as we continue to age together. They will bear fruit in their old age and they will stay fresh and green. I heard a great quote from a prominent pastor in the States who said this. He says, you can be committed to church, but not be committed to Christ. But you cannot be committed to Christ and not committed to the church. Why? Because Jesus died for the church. Jesus loves the church. So you can't help but to love what he loves if you love him. Does that make sense? So he has a great love for the body of Christ. And anything that's healthy, any church that's healthy is going to grow. And so when a seed is planted in good soil, when it's nourished, it begins to grow as it plants roots. And those roots then become the lifeline or the connection to development, to maintain strength and health, to eventually produce good fruit. What good is an apple tree if it just looks pretty? If it doesn't yield apples that taste amazing, then it's of no use at all. We should be producing good fruit. You see, the church is God's idea for growth in our lives. And the results, or the fruit, of being planted deep in the local church, of being planted deep in him, those results are many. There's many benefits. Let me just give you a few. The first one is it builds our beliefs. You know, we live in a world that is really has a big deficit when it comes to belief. An entire generation that doesn't know what they believe exactly, even those that have grown up in the church, sometimes are hard-pressed to articulate what it is their faith is all about. And so we need to see that change. We need to plant our families in a place that they can grow and develop so that when they leave your home, when they go into the world, that they don't walk away from the church and God in order to do it, but that it's always something that's important in their life. You know, in the early days of church planting, Susan and I and our young family planted a church in Toronto. And so we would reach out to the neighborhood that was around us, which had a lot of low-income families, a lot of single moms, a lot of kids everywhere. But for the most part, these were kids that didn't know up from down when it came to the church. They didn't know who God was and what sin was all about. And so we began to, with their approval, we rented a school bus and we would drive it into these communities, and we had our children's ministry team that Susan headed up go in and pick up kids every Sunday morning and bus them in to church. And so these kids are hearing the gospel, some of them for the very first time. They have no background whatsoever. And I remember Susan telling a story that one time she was teaching them the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. She was trying to use something that they understood. And at the time, there was a movie that had come out in the theater called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, based on the C.S. Lewis book, and kind of paralleling who God and Jesus is in our lives. And so she used that to amplify their understanding of what it was all about. And so she was kind of walking them through. And there was kids in the front row. There was one kid in particular who was sitting front and center, and he was kind of looking at her hard, trying to track as closely as he could to go, okay, all right. And so she's saying, now if you remember the movie, you know that everything represents something else. You know, that Jesus was represented by Aslan, that God was like the St. Nicholas character, and then the witch represents, and before she could even finish speaking, he says, wait, there's a witch? Like, what are you telling? We got God, we got this, we got, and there's a witch, and she was just about to explain that it represented, you know, the devil and sin. But what it showed is in these young people's lives, they had no frame of reference because they had no background when it came to the church, no understanding of what the gospel is all about. And so as we reach people, we're reaching people that aren't just small, but people that have lived all their lives and have grown now and don't understand. You see, for those kids, Moses was the guy who sold drugs on the corner of their block. He wasn't the guy who led the Israelites out of bondage, right? These were all new terms and new names. And so we need to make sure that we plant our families in good soil so that they're learning the truth and growing because of it. Second benefit of being planted, of sharing our church, is it gives us a place to belong. This was very important to me early on when I was 16 and gave my heart to the Lord. We all need that sense of belonging. Some people have said to me, you know, Pastor Steve, why can't I believe without belonging? And I said, well, the truth is you can for a little while, but you won't last long. You see, as we face the challenges in life, it's very difficult to believe and not belong to a community that's there to strengthen you in your faith. The truth is there's no fruit when we're floating around from place to place, dragging our roots everywhere we go. They're not planted. They're not being nourished. And when they are, that's when the growth takes place. That's when we flourish in our lives. Third benefit is it helps us to become all that God wants us to be. I mentioned that I didn't commit my life until my teens at 16 years old. So I didn't have the benefit of growing up surrounded by other men and women of God who were walking in that way of life. It was foreign to me. My parents and I were discovering it all at the same time. But my parents made a decision back then, that when they found a church that was a place where they were being fed, where they could serve and get involved and not just be a consumer, but be someone who was actively involved in giving of their time and their talent, giving their finances, making God the most important thing in their life, honoring Him first in their giving. These are things they taught me in the context of planting our roots in a local church. I became involved in the performing arts. That was something that I loved to do. I started to learn the Word of God and what it looked like in a person's life because I could see it in the people around me. I was given an opportunity by those that believed in me in my early days to get up and grab the mic and say a few things, to share my faith, to preach and teach, to make a whole bunch of mistakes along the way, but to be patient with me. I learned how to be a servant, a giver, a husband, a dad. I learned all of these things in the context of a community of faith, of a church that loved me. Same can be true for you and your children right here at Calvary. When you plant yourself deep, when you say, God, I'm going to be one of those strong stakes in the ground so that the house will be secure, more secure than it was before I came. And then the fourth and final thing, it allows us to live a much bigger life. You see, your life is so much bigger, so much more effective when we're planted in God's house. By being set in this church community, you literally are affecting and influencing the world. We can do more locally than we ever did before. We can do more globally because we're connected to other stakes and ropes around the world where we're strong with. We can love our street friends in Wally when we partner up with ministries like Night Shift. We can minister to our own community here in Fraser Heights and in loving the people of the Lower Mainland. We can plant churches and affect nations in the Ukraine and in right here at home, planting churches in Canada, being part of those that have the same spirit to see this continue to grow. Your life is bigger because you decided to do it with other people. You belong here. That's God's heart for you, is to find that connection, that sense of belonging. So I want to encourage you today to share your church with others. Why? Because he did. It's the example he gave us. He shared that community with people wherever he went. Be an inviter, be a bringer. If God has brought you into this family here at Calvary, plant yourself deep. Allow those roots for you and your family to go deep so that they remain in the ground, that they're nourished and that you flourish. Your marriage flourishes, your finances flourish, your kids, your teenagers, your young adults, they flourish and they grow. Will you be one of those strong stakes in the ground that Isaiah talked about? As we continue to grow together here at Calvary, I pray you will be. Easter is coming. And you have an opportunity to make the difference, an eternal difference in the life of somebody just by saying, hey, I want to invite you to my church. We're having a breakfast on Good Friday. I'd love for you to come. And then come join us on Easter. It's one of the greatest services we have all year. We'd love to have you come. Share your church. Share the relationships that have helped to shape you into who you are today. It's not going to just happen on your own. And you know what? We have digital forms of this and printed forms. Share it on social media. Share it whichever way you can. And then be consistent to revisit it with them. Hey, you remember that invitation I gave you? Are you going to be able to come? Hey, I bought you a ticket to breakfast. I would love if you would come with my family. I'll sit with you. I'll meet you there on Sunday morning on our Easter Sunday service, and I'll sit with you. I'll sit with you in the communion service after the breakfast. I would love to be there for you. People want to be invited. You just have to step out and take that next stretching of your faith. Invitation is evangelism. And your simple invitation could change someone's life forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity we have to invite, to influence a new generation. I pray that we would share our faith and share the relationships that have brought strength to our life. This community of faith that helps us to grow in our pursuit of who you are and your calling in our life. God, we thank you for this month of neighboring. Help us to share the gospel, to share the truth of what has happened in our lives with the world around us. And even today, I pray that as we take time to pray, that if we know Christ, we'll be a part of the mission that he's called us to. And if we don't, that we'll step up and say, I recognize that I have a need for Jesus in my life. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. If that is sincerely prayed in your heart, your life is forever changed. And so today, as we continue in our service, we continue to lift you up, to stand with one another in strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.